Well, praise God, smile at someone. Ooh, you may be seated. Oh my goodness. How many of you know we were visited by the Holy Ghost today? Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Got to get back into the natural here for a minute. Amen. praise the Lord. November is a very critical date for us to take advantage of, and that's to vote. Amen. And I know that God's in control, but we have a responsibility. And Lynn and Neil, stand up over here. Now, we're not going to take a long time as far as telling you where to get information, to find out if you're registered to vote, find out where you vote, stuff like that. But if you need any information as far as even the people who are running for office, what they stand for, and things like that, you need that information, Lynn and Neil can get you to the place that will give you the right information that you need. Amen? Ignorance is not an excuse, okay? As he gets it, God will do his part, but we've got to do our part. And, you know, a lot of people, because of the whatever went on in you know, that last election, presidential election, said, well, it's not going to do no good to vote because they're just going to cheat anyway. We have to overload the voting with what we want. So if there is an attempt to cheat, it won't work. Because they'll be overwhelmed with righteous voting. Say righteous voting. And I think in your heart of hearts, you kind of know what God wants. So, but it's important to know what the candidates are and what they believe in and so on and so forth, their voting records. And a lot of that has been research has been done for you. So Lynn will show you the websites and so on and so forth to get the information that you need. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Well, I guess I have to preach. That's a good thing, I guess, or teach, or whatever we call it. And it's interesting. The title of this message, and I don't know if it's going to be a series yet, but Discovering God's Best in Times of Trouble. Discovering God's Best in Times of Trouble. How many of you know there's trouble? All around us. All around us. And so we have to look at whatever is going on around us with a faith perspective, with our faith glasses on. Amen? We can't look at things that are how they are as far as what we see, what we hear. We've got to look at it through God's eyes. Amen? God's bigger than any political party. Hallelujah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I hear it from all sources as far as the body of Christ is concerned, that God's not done with us yet. So don't look for your rapture rug. Now, if he wants to come, amen, we can do that. But so many years was wasted by the church not doing what we were supposed to do. Amen? Leading this nation. Amen? Politically and every other way. That we sat back and everybody wanted to get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And so that was a mentality. My folks were raised. I was raised, you know, the youngster, kind of like that. And so we were hoping that I told my daughter this over and over again, every December 31st, okay? I was sure Jesus was going to come before the next year. I was convinced. In fact, I had to sleep with somebody as a young boy. I could. Yeah, I was just, you know, is tomorrow going to come? And that's, you know, and we are to expect and to look forward to anticipate the Lord coming back. The Bible tells us that. We are to comfort one another with those words. But let's not get caught up in the fact that we have to occupy until he comes. And that's using our faith, learning our faith. And what was interesting yesterday, we went to a memorial service for a great couple. Amen. Most of you don't know who they are, but they were involved in our church way back in the beginning of our church, Abington, amen, and helped us get to become established while they were with us. And so I was talking to a young man that we had married. In fact, we went out to Tulsa and did a wedding, and they're back here. He's a Rhema graduate, and I was sharing. I hadn't seen him for years. And I said, are you still faith? Are you still word of faith? Because a lot of times our faith can get dampened, or we can get off course, or we could go another way. And he said, yeah, I'm word of faith, man. I'm Brother Hagin all the way. I said, praise God for that. And then I told him the experience, kind of what I didn't tell him about getting drunk and all that stuff in the car coming back. Some of you heard that testimony coming back from our vacation. But where the Lord spoke to us and said, teach my people faith. And yesterday in that church, as I was telling him that, and I said, the Lord told us to teach my people faith. That same anointing came upon me. I didn't get drunk. I didn't allow it to go that far. I said, Lord, come on. We're not going to do that again right now. Praise the Lord. But God is still, and that Faith and Fire Conference, it's timely for a purpose. We're going to launch into orbit. Ooh, glory to God. So you need to get here. You need to invite people. Be here every service. Well, if I just make one service, bless God. No, every service builds on another. You need to make it. If you have to take off work, whatever, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, two services, you've got to be here. Because God's word is saying, teach my people faith. And one thing about Mark and Trina, they have the spirit of faith on them. And that can be catchy. Just like fear can catch and negativity can catch, faith can catch. Hallelujah. How many of you want to catch some faith? Glory to God. Catch some faith. Well, let's look at Psalms 27. Psalms 27, we'll get as far as we can today, and we'll pick it up next week if we don't finish. It says here, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's a lot of fear-mongering going on, even in the church world. We need anything that attaches to you, that tries to move you over into fear, that is of the enemy. That is of the enemy. Okay? Don't be overly concerned about anything. Amen? We got to move through this time with joy, and we're going to see some scriptures here. So every word that the psalmist says here is so important for us to feed upon. Amen? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is what? The strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You have supernatural. You have to understand, when you were born into the kingdom of God, you received supernatural abilities. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Supernatural. Yes. You're in Christ and he's in you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, amen. Verse 2 says, when the wicked came against me, to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. See, the enemy might gather together against you. And we see that nationwide, worldwide right now. But he's going to fail. God has bigger plans. Amen. It says, my heart shall not fear. So when the enemy comes and slaps you with that fear, that overwhelming sensation that grips you, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. And it usually gets you at the weakest time. A lot of times in the morning when you're coming out of your sleep and stuff like that, you'll start feeling something rise up on the inside of you, and he'll plant something in your mind and put fear in there, and you'll start to grip. You know, this, amen, hallelujah. It says, my heart shall not fear. Say that with me. My heart shall not fear. There's so many confessions in this scripture that you could pull out. Amen. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek. Now look at this. This is priority. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold. And I'm asking you this morning, what are you beholding? Where is your focus? You know, Jesus said simply in the New Testament, seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will work out. Amen? Amen? So this is my desire. This is what the psalmist said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In other words, he was hungry for the word. Read Psalms 119. The longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about the word. It's all, amen, hungry for the word of God. So, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. 4, verse 5, in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Ooh, glory to God. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. Boy, this is the word for this hour, isn't it? This is the word for this hour. Therefore, I will offer what? Of joy! What's there to be sad about? Glory to God. Well, Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed with all that. Turn off the news. We should just get so filled with this, just this chapter. Therefore, when the enemy comes against you, you do it. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifices of joy in my home, in my church, in my car. It says, I will sing praises to the Lord. Glory to God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Glory to God. And he goes on to say in verse 8, when you said, seek my face. How many of you know seeking his face is seeking his word? My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant. I often wonder how David would be if he was under the new covenant. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. I could see him do a Holy Ghost dance. What would that be like? Supernatural. Man, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. And of course, we know that God and the new covenant does not do this, but do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. See, God's people have always had enemies. Amen? Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Now look at verse 13. It says, I would have lost heart, and a lot of people did during the pandemic. They lost heart unless I had believed. Why is faith important? It'll fix your believer. It'll fix your believer. I would have lost heart. Now, that is where the difference is between people of faith and people of religion. People of religion will try to figure things out and make up reasons why things are so bad, and they'll even contribute things to God. Well, God brought this on you to teach you something. God is judging America for this and that and so on and so forth. God is not mad at anybody right now because it's his will that all be saved and all come to repentance. Amen? He's in love with every one of us. In fact, the Bible says, while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. He loved you. So he's not mad. He's not judging America. He's not we need to get our mindset changed. He wants revival. He wants the greatest move of God that this nation has ever seen. He wants us to be a lighthouse on the hill once more to proclaim the gospel all over the world. Amen. I know there's a book of Revelation, and I know there's a book of Daniel and what's going to happen, and it will happen. At some point, the end will come, but now is not that time. Amen. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, are you looking around? And are you allowing yourself to see the goodness of God through things? Or are you seeing through the eyes of negativity, through the eyes of gloom and doom and so on and so forth? What kind of glasses are you wearing? Glory to God. We need to look through the blood. We need to look through the blood of Jesus. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, verse 14, he sums it up, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Now, how do we survive it? We have a heart of joyfulness. Happiness. Amen. Laughing. Amen. Honestly, I got to get more like that. I'm too serious. Amen. Pastor Judy always tries to get me to laugh at something she reads on something, and I just... Are you like that? Yeah, you don't laugh at anything. I guess we need to practice on laughing. Amen? We need to practice on laughing. Amen? Aha. Glory to God. Do it. I'm going to preach that over here on the left half. Glory to God. Sometimes I think the older we get more serious. I remember watching Ernest. Any of you ever watch Ernest? Those movies. He was such a nut job. I mean, he just laughed and laughed and laughed. I, growing up, we watched Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. Remember some of you that are older ones? Goofy, but it made you laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Amen? And, I don't know who always hearing one of the preachers, prominent preachers, I don't remember who it was, I say, you need to watch some of those old things again just to make you laugh. Amen. Just to make you laugh. Well, that's not spiritual. Well, laughing is.
Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Why do you think God gave us funny people? Amen. Come on now. Amen. Because he knew that people needed to laugh. Yes. Praise God. All right. Turn to the person next to you and laugh a little bit. Come on, laugh. Come on, joyful. Some of you are doing it for real. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Now, other translations in this portion of Scripture says, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. Don't quit. And it goes on to say, let your heart be stout and enduring. Let your heart be stout and enduring. In other words, you're not easily moved. Amen? Hallelujah. Because God's word said he will never disappoint you. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Message Bible. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Message Bible. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. How many of you can say amen to that? There are some Christians all over, you know, in other places that are having it worse than we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? We're in the same family. Amen. So, it's the same with Christians all over the world. So, keep a firm grip on the what? Faith. Hallelujah. Upon the goodness of God. Upon the good things that God is doing. Amen? The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good, and he gets the last word. Yes, he does. Amen. Hallelujah. You might be Humpty Dumpty falling apart and whatever, but God says, I'm putting you back together again. Hallelujah. Your family might be in turmoil and look like a mess. He said, I'm putting you back together again. Hallelujah. Your body might be hurting and I'm putting you back. And some of you have already got started getting put back together. Hallelujah. Praise God. And listen, God formed you anyway. He doesn't patch you up. He doesn't put patches. He doesn't use crazy glue. When he does a number on you, he does it right. Glory to God. Amen. He doesn't use secondhand parts. He renews you. Glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last scripture I'm going to share with you this morning, and we'll pick this up next week. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul. I love this portion of scripture. And I always remember Jerry Savelle preaching on this. And I always hear him say that. This phrase, and it's something that we need, and I've used it also in past messages. But Acts chapter 20, he's before King Agrippa, and it says, and see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. How would you like to be the Apostle Paul? Chains and tribulations await me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get in chains again. Glory to see the goodness of God. Hallelujah. But verse 24. But none of these things move me. None of these things move me. And I've been hearing a lot of things. And we will be, even if you're not purposely listening to whatever out there in the world. They can move you out of faith into fear, into doubt, into unbelief. Is anything ever going to change? Is any everything, you know? And we were really thinking that during the pandemic. Are we ever going to be able to get rid of these masks? My wife and I think, are we ever going to be able to go to California again and see our son? Are we ever going to, you know, these things, the enemy tries to put into your head, and it gets into your spirit, and it begins to get. But Paul understood. He understood that tribulation and things like this was a part of life, especially his life, because God had spoken to him. How would you like a prophet to come and say, your life is going to be full of tribulation and trials, bless God. But Paul was encouraged by that because he knew no matter what he got. How many of you like to go like the Apostle Paul and get, you know, bitten, get shipwrecked for one thing, right? And then he's sent by a fire and a viper comes out, bites him. And everybody's looking around and said, when that guy's going to fall dead? When he's going to fall, you know, because it was one of the most poisonous vipers in the area. But he just shook it off. None of these things moved me. See, when you know that you're in the plan of God and the destiny of God and you're in the right place at the right time, it doesn't matter what the storm looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on. And let me tell you, every one of you, God planned you to be here at this time. As messy as things are in this nation, he's put you here for a purpose. And no matter what seems to be brewing out there, you've got to have that same attitude. Nothing is going to move me off of my faith. Nothing is going to move me. I'm going to go through this thing joyfully. I'm going to go through the next few months. Well, how much is a price? You know, Pastor Judy asked me how much a price of eggs are. I'm a guy. When I go shopping, I just pick up the things I need. I don't look at prices. But when I go home, Pastor Judy will say, how much did that cost? I don't know. We needed eggs. $20 a dozen? I don't know. We need eggs. Well, God said he'd supply my need according to his riches and glory. One egg, $10. Glory to God. Amen. Precious protein. And tell you, it's not too, you don't see too many happy people at the supermarket anymore. Everybody's complaining. They go up to the cash registers and they can't believe how much a bill is. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Say this with me. Nothing moves me. Hallelujah. And this is where we've got to be. It doesn't matter. And I thank God, you know, we planned our trip, our road trip to California with the idea, and this is when prices of gas was going up. And we said, even if it gets $6 a gallon, we're going. Amen. It was that much in California. But figure how many, 3,000 miles. 6,000 both ways. $6 a gallon. I said, no, it wasn't. No, it was three something. But what, when we made plans to go, that was what we were. I said, are we going to do this? You know, I mean, we put the price together, flying versus driving and rental cars. How many of you know that cheap to do anything? But we enjoyed our road trip. I'm ready to do it again. Long as I don't get drunk in the Holy Ghost driving. Didn't make the day go quicker, but I didn't get very far. amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Judy would love to show you a video of me, but I'm not going to let her do that. She videoed me in that process, and I was weird. Amen. Hallelujah. When you get drunk, you don't care what you act like. Right? And really, no matter what we're going through, we need to have that kind of, you know, not that we're drunk, especially with wine, not that kind of wine, but with the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you explain it? How, there's a new, Acts chapter 2, they came out of the upper room. And apparently they were staggering like drunk people when they came out of the upper room in the streets of Jerusalem. And Peter had to speak up and say, "We're not drunk as you suppose." Because, man, you know, people know what drunk looks like, right? So they must have looked like they were drunk on wine, all right? Peter said, "They're not drunk as you suppose, but they are all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit." Amen? Hallelujah. And something about it, when you get in the presence of the Lord, there's such an overwhelming, some of you felt it this morning, there's such an overwhelming, I can't explain it. I have never been drunk with wine. So I don't know how that is, okay? I cannot relate to that. Some of you have been intoxicated. But I do know that when the Holy Spirit comes in that way, and he comes in all forms, all ways. Sometimes you'll cry, sometimes you'll laugh, sometimes you dance, and sometimes you fall down on the ground, you're glued to the floor, can't get up, and you're drunk, all kinds of stuff. Amen? Even Pastor Mike has experienced that, and he's kind of dignified. Amen. When Vicki Jameson was here, boy, that was, I think we all got a little bit of that. I don't know. Hallelujah. This is a different kind of service. But the whole theme of this thing was, you know, discovering God's best in times of trouble. And to do that, we got to keep our eyes on God, on the Word, be filled with faith. Amen. And not look at the bad stuff. Praise God. Come on, lift up your hands. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Father, we just praise you this morning. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think it's that overwhelming presence that's kind of hung here since the beginning of the service. Amen, that we sense this morning. And Father, we just thank you for healing miracles working in our lives and our families this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your head. I can't forget to give you an opportunity if you're here. You have not received Christ into your life, and you might be here, and you might think, boy, these are weird people talking about weird things. Never heard such things before. But that's okay. God loves you. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have a good life. Amen. And so the way that you enter into that experience is you accept what he did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. The Bible says we were all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to the cross. He died in our place so that we could have everlasting life. And so all it takes to become a Christian or a follower of Jesus is two things. Believe that he did come. He died for your sins. He forgave you, and to accept him and ask him into your life and into your heart. So we're going to pray this prayer together, and I want you to pray it with me. And if you're not sure this morning, just pray it again. We're all going to pray it. But this is to make sure that you are on your way to heaven. That's the most important thing. But not only just to get to heaven, but be able to make it through what we're going through all the troubles. Amen. That Jesus said, "I'm a brother, that I'm a friend." He said, "I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Amen? And he wants to be that to you. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And now, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I thank you for it now, that I am the child of God, that I am a Christian, I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.